Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to The Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Bruce Newman, lead consultant, and one of our longer-tenured consultants here at Core Business Solutions. So glad you could be with us today, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here with you. I hope I can enlighten our listeners on some of the aspects of implementation of different systems.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly today's title. Today's show is entitled From Planning to Implementation, How to Get from Planning Your QMS to an Implementing One. Now, if you've listened to the Quality Hub before, you know that we've been interviewing our guest with a focus on starting your quality management system. And we're going to be continuing that journey here today with Bruce. But before we start the podcast, can we hear a little bit about your background and journey, Bruce?
Yeah, well, I go way back. Actually, I started in quality before ISO had even been launched. I'm working with automotive companies. I've worked with yacht companies, medical device, you name it. What I have found is that if you've got good quality skills, it's easy to learn different products and processes and apply those skills. So it's not a bad field to be into as far as versatility and job security.
Okay. And how long did you say you've been here? I mean, you're doing this.
I've been with Core for 6 years.
Okay.
And been about 45 years before that, managing different quality systems.
So last week's podcast, we started planning our quality management system. Now, we want to focus on implementation this week. Can you tell us what the three main thrust might be at this stage?
Okay, the idea here is that we want to put into action the different things that we've put down on paper, I guess you could say.
Okay.
So one thing I need to have is a good relationship with the client. I want them to understand that we're not about changing things you do. We're about taking advantage of the things you do well, which if you're a solid business, there's a lot of good things you're doing, obviously.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talked with some other people was, you know, you start with what you have now.
Exactly. So once that documentation's complete, to me, that is part of the groundwork that you complete during planning. And all that's designed to make the process of registration go simply. So now all we need to do is get you comfortable with that documentation and with using the tools that we've put down on paper.
So you want to get those controls, those processes and things like that in place. That's going to keep your QMS moving forward.
Right. So we've identified the key processes that impact quality of your product or service. So what we want to do is put together some signals that tell us when things are going well and when they're not going so well. And obviously, when we notice that things are going not so well, we want to fix that.
Right, right.
The opposite of that now is something that a lot of people neglect, is when things go unexpectedly great, that's cause for an investigation as well, because maybe there's something that we've done a little differently that improved the process that we want to institutionalize and maybe document and continue.
Yeah, maybe implement into other parts of the company.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's great. You just mentioned documentation. I know we spoke in the past podcast about why it's so important and why it's part of the quality management system if you're looking at 9001. So now why is controlling that documentation so important?
Well, the importance, there's a few things. One, we want people that are subject matter experts in charge of their documentation. We want them to be the ones that generate it and revise it to approve any revisions.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that we don't want anybody using out-of-date documents. So that's the whole point behind maintaining revision levels. Let's say, for example, we've got a final inspection process that is a checklist of items to inspect, and maybe we've got a design change that takes place with one of our products. So we need to change the specifications or even add an inspection point. If we've got people out there inspecting using the old document, there's a good chance we'll ship non-conforming product because they don't have the latest and greatest. So
right. So you need to control these documents. So one point would be so you have the right revision when you're doing something work based on it, if it's work instructions.
Exactly.
And then what if it's another type of documentation? What's the importance of controlling it that way?
Well, for example, a procedure or the quality manual. If we make any changes to instructional or procedural type documents, Again, we don't want people following the wrong procedures.
Correct. You want them to do the most up-to-date one.
Primarily, these documents, once somebody knows their job, they're not referring to documents like this day in, day out. But the secret is that they're good for training. So when we bring new employees in, we don't want to be training them to out-of-date processes or methods of doing things. We want them trained up in the latest and most current versions of those documents.
Right. And a lot of times you were saying the subject matter experts, you know, or what we call them SMEs, they might be the people actually doing the job. So they might say, hey, I'm going to revise this. You know, management's like, yep, go right ahead. It's revised. So they don't need to necessarily be trained on it or told about it. But the person is coming on as a new person or maybe a switch from another position in the actual company, they're going to need to know what to do.
Well, that's true. And there are cases. In a lot of businesses, people are versatile and they work in different areas of the shop or the warehouse or whatever. And it may be that you're working a workstation for a period of time and then move on to somewhere else where the company needs you.
Right, right, right.
When you come back, there may be changes to the process. So it's probably a good practice to review any document changes with personnel as they move to a new workstation.
You want to control, which is what we were talking about, we want to control those documents to keep it to the latest and greatest, the most current version, for a myriad of reasons. Now, when we're talking about management planning, can you give us a little bit of details about what that is and why it's so important to a quality management system?
Failure to plan is a plan to fail.
Yeah.
So part of the ISO journey is developing a discipline structure to managing your business. And part of that discipline is planning. You know, you wouldn't bring in a $100,000 new piece of equipment without planning ahead about where am I going to put it? What do we need to set it on? Does it need to have some sort of vibration cancellation technology or foundation?
Yeah, how are we going to power it, especially if it's a pretty large piece of equipment?
Right, exactly. Do we even have the amps to run the thing? Plus, who's gonna operate the machine?
Right.
We got to plan for personnel, training, the changes in manufacturing. You know, what are we gonna run there? How are we gonna, you know, what product lines are we gonna move onto this thing? All that discipline should be applied across the board. Part of the planning involves measuring our process performance, because how do we know how well we're doing if we're not measuring?
Right, right.
A lot of people kind of go by gut feelings, but Deming, who is probably the premier expert on quality, once said that I trust in God, all others bring data.
Yeah, one of our previous guests said, you know, if you're not measuring it, you're not able to look at it and to have, you know, a metric to base any kind of decisions on. And if you're talking about performance, you want to have a baseline of.
Yeah, and I guess, too, one of the basic tenets of Six Sigma and lean improvement is we don't know what we don't know. So if we don't have a baseline, how do we know really how well we're doing?
Right.
So the measurement planning helps us decide a number of things. For one, we have to decide what's important in determining how our QMS is performing. What really gets under our skin when things aren't going right?
Okay.
So first thing we need to do is figure out the key metrics that tell us how we're performing. Once we figure out what we're going to measure, we got to figure out how to measure it. So what's the measurement that's going to tell us if it's going well or not?
Right, right.
For example, a first time pass at final inspection. Well, that's a pretty good measurement. And that's probably one that a lot of people start with. But when you get right down to it, there's upstream measurements that may help us save a lot of money as far as failure modes and stuff like that. So we may be able to localize failures and or reduce costs if we push measurements of nonconformance upstream in our process. So we got to figure out how we're going to measure, how we're going to measure things. And a lot of people, you know, you got to walk before you run.
Right, right.
So first time pass is a good starting point.
Okay. And that's more from a manufacturing standpoint. If you're looking at service, there may be some other way you measure it.
Yeah. And I think the other key is we have to figure out what's a real failure versus
right
just noise in the system.
Right, right.
There's going to be a certain amount of issues in any business that are kind of expected. And we've got to differentiate when things actually go wrong compared to just you know, minor variations in the process.
You might be able to trace that back to something, whether it's the raw material you're using and you got it from a different supplier. And hey, when we use this supplier, we have this issue versus when we use another supplier. That gives you another metric to say, hey, this is where it happened.
Yeah, exactly. And one example, I guess, too, of noise that I run into a lot of with machine shops in particular is a lot of companies like to measure scrap. And that's a good measure of performance, because obviously scrap is very expensive and it's total waste,
right,
typically.
Right.
However, machine shops have some expected scrap during setup. When you set up a machine and get everything running correctly, there's variation in the tool wear and things like that that require a few runs to just make sure that everything's set properly. Setup scrap is typically amortized into the cost of the project, usually around 5 or 10%. But what we want to do is differentiate between setup and manufacturing scrap. So we're expecting, say, this 5% scrap. That's normal. We're getting paid right for that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's opportunities to reduce it, obviously, so it's an important measurement. But as far as failures go, your focus should be on manufacturing scrap, which would occur in the process after setup and once you're running the part.
Right. That's, again, you know, you just want to get that measurement in place and maybe differentiate what you're talking about. Hey, we're going to count all of this, put this in this bin because that's setup scrap. Once we get rolling, everything else goes in this bin. So we can say, okay, this is how much percentage we used for setup. This is how much we actually did when the manufacturing started. Okay, we've got those baselines. How can we improve it? Do we need to get another machine? Something that sets up faster?
Yeah. So the idea would be to start off measuring manufacturing scrap and get that under control, get that to a point where it's an acceptable level, which should be pretty low. Probably, you know, depending on the business, you'd be looking at wanting to take that down into the less than 1% range.
Okay.
Once you've got that under control, you can start working on setup scrap and reduce your costs, and in turn, maybe even become more competitive by passing that savings along to your customers.
Now, that sort of leads into the next one. Obviously, you said maybe we can pass on our customers. That's going to probably bring management into the picture. And I know that management being proactive is absolutely essential to the success of a quality management system. At this stage in the game, we're at implementation. What are the management's roles and responsibilities?
So in order to have a successful quality system, management's got to be actively engaged, strategically and sometimes tactically. Obviously, they're not going to be in the dirt. They're going to be delegating a lot of activities. But you can tell management's engagement by the level of implementation. One thing that helps greatly is when personnel evaluations include some aspects of QMS performance. For example, evaluating your managers and supervision on their attention and timely closure of corrective actions and how engaged they are in the process of continual improvement. However, another thing that's really important management-wise is that folks see you and see your interest.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be interested in what you're interested in. So if you're walking the floor and you're talking to people about continual improvement, you're asking them about improvement projects that are active and current. You're talking to them about how to reduce problems and come to conclusion on corrective actions. All that's going to kind of by osmosis feed the floor.
But yeah, you have engagement. The engagement between management, people on the floor, the ones actually doing it, getting their ideas. I believe it was Suzanne Weber-Smotko said that the people that write the best processes are people that do the job. So management would be smart to say, hey, can you help me out with this? Like you were saying, you know, improvement plans and so on and so forth. And that engagement really shows the leadership that management has and then gets buy-in from your actual, you know, your general workers.
That's absolutely true. And one thing I always tell the folks I work with on these different implementation projects is that the people on the floor during an audit are going to be the superstars. You rarely find nonconformances that are attributable to the folks working out in the shop and out in the warehouse. I would say at least 85% of nonconformances during an audit go directly back to the administration of the quality system, not the actual work being done on the floor.
Wow, that's really telling, isn't it? And that actually shows the importance of management and how they need to be proactive and engaging and have responsibilities when it comes to the QMS.
And this is the whole point behind management review and management ownership of the process. They've taken ownership of the quality system from the management rep, if you have one, and basically placed it on the shoulders of the site lead, which is where it should be. If the quality system's not important to the site lead, then there's no reason why it should be important to anybody else.
Yeah, to summarize this, basically their roles and responsibilities are leadership, being active, being engaging, owning the quality management system, and showing that to the people that are on the shop floor.
Yeah, that's the truth. And what I've found is it's very obvious during an internal audit or even a casual conversation with clients. It's obvious who's interested in having a piece of paper on the wall and who's interested in having a seriously good quality system.
It really seems that at this step of the quality management system implementation, things are becoming a little more detailed. You're getting a little bit more ownership of it from management. You're getting into the nuts and bolts on the floor. Do you have any other thoughts or stories from your experience that you'd like to share? One of the companies you've worked with has implemented a quality management system.
One good example of a robust quality system. I worked with a company that made body armor. The material used to make body armor is extremely expensive. It's about 8 feet across, and a 3 foot length section of it can cost upwards of $300,
$400.
Wow. So every inch of that material that you can save is incredibly valuable. We were spending upwards of, we were losing $1 million a year in scrap.
Wow.
We got the quality team together and did some, first we collected information about where the scrap was coming from, how it was being generated, the measurements we were using to lay the material out for cutting into to panels and such. And we found some slop in the setup. So we concentrated on the setup. We worked with training the team. We worked with putting some measurement devices on the long tables where we pulled this material out to measure it. We worked on things like pulling out the wrinkles, just simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we put the project in. We implemented some changes to the process. And about 4 months later, a manufacturing engineer came to me and said, "Something's screwy with our data. It's got to be wrong. We're using this much less material than we were using last quarter."
Mm-hmm.
So I asked to look it over. And what I found out was that our process, our simple process of revising measurements, putting more attention on setup, and just the simple things that we implemented wound up saving the company $500,000 a year in setup scrap.
Wow.
On very expensive material.
Wow, $500,000, half a mil, just from one aspect of a quality management system being used in place and just for scrap.
And it was all about measurement.
Yep. Wow.
Knowing what to expect and then how to improve it and being able to objectively attach a value to what we were doing.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It really does show the absolute value of a quality management system. Well, Bruce, I really appreciate you taking the time today to do this podcast with us. This has been really helpful. This has been really informative.
Well, I'm more than happy to do it. I just hope someone was able to pick up something that might be able to help them in their quality journey.
That's great. And again, thank you. And we want to thank everyone here who's listened to our podcast today. We hope, as I said before, it's been informative for you. You've learned something. Maybe you've been inspired. And be sure to check out our Quality Hub podcast next week. Have a great day, everyone.